Good morning. I'm just adjusting the microphone for small people. There we go. I mean, I speak loud enough anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Good morning. You've got me speaking today. I'm doing the Connect with Culture, I think is the series, or what it's called. I never know the series titles. I just talk on what I'm told to, apart from this one when I got to choose. So I am going to, I think I'm going to play the song first, and then we'll go from there about what we're going to talk about, because I think that'll be the best way. So yeah, it's a song from Hamilton, and the talk will be based on that, but I'll explain after. Okay, so the talk for today, I've been back and forth with what it's actually on. Same message, title has changed, back and forth. But I think I've always landed on grief. So it's not a talk on how to deal with grief. It's not a talk on necessarily what grief is or isn't. But it's something, I mean, those of you that know me, I am not someone that goes, well, the Lord told me to do that, so I'm going to do it. I'm like the opposite of that. But this is something that I think, has been speaking to me a lot over, I think the course of a couple of months. And I just, something I wanted to talk on the blind side, to be honest, and NFL and nice things, but here we are. All right, we're going to go with it. So the meaning of grief is actually intense sorrow. And I think when we think about grief or we look at grief, I think we automatically go to death. And that's all that is grief, is that we're dealing with death or with loss. Whereas the actual meaning is intense sorrow. And I think that can be linked to lots of things in our everyday life. That could be a loss of a job, friends, circumstances, or changes of things, or grieving what you thought you would have and don't. I think it's something that happens to all of us, and it's something that we encounter on a daily basis in some form or another. But I also think that's not something that we're very good at maybe talking about or dealing with, or even experiencing. One of the things that I've been really, focusing on, I think, in sort of quiet times and life in general, is whether light and dark can coexist. Onto paradoxes. This wasn't planned, actually. I heard that we had communion, and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna bring the tone down. But whether light and dark can coexist. In my research with Google, we all know that's how I research my preaches. All the evangelical blogs are very clear that light and dark categorically cannot exist together. It's not a thing, because the Bible says it can't, because Jesus has risen and therefore darkness has gone away. However, I've always thought that it absolutely can exist together. It has to exist together. So for those of you that don't know of the song, that is looking at death and grief. But for today, we're looking at grief as a whole, and loss and sorrow and pain in general. So I'm going to break it into little sections. I'm going to keep it nice and quick because communion was long, and I don't want to talk that much. So I'm going to break it, and the first bit we're going to look at are there are moments that the words don't reach. There is suffering too terrible to name. Like I said, I think we like to keep grief quite separate from our life. It's something we sort of put in a box and think, oh, I'll think about that when I have to, or if I'm forced to. There's a guy called Stephen Levine. He says that sometimes the only time we think about grief is when we're forced to, is because we're standing at a funeral, because we've got no choice, we're there. Whereas he says, if pain made a sound, the atmosphere would be humming all the time, because actually it is there. I think for me, this is something I think I've been thinking about. With my job, I see lots of bad things. That's just generally part of my job. I think the role I'm in at the moment, I think I see, because I work with kids now, like in child protection. So I think it's easier to think I think it's easier to feel your emotions when it involves kids, generally. But I think for me, it's grief is everywhere. Like, there is stuff happening every day to, every person. And I think for me, sort of being in that and encountering with that on a daily basis, I think it really got me thinking of, how do we do life? How are we in this? Where is the light in this? Where is God in this? How do I coexist with this? How do we coexist with this? How you know, how do we acknowledge it? How do we give it its time and its place without it overwhelming your life, but also not letting it pass you by and not dealing with it at all? No one escapes suffering or loss. It's there, you know, it's everywhere. But we don't talk about it. You know, I think from a culture anyway, but generally as humans, I think you say, how are you? Fine. Everything's fine. You know, and I think if you've had something horrible happen, whatever that looks like, you know, loss of friendships, jobs, opportunities, family, if it is death, you know, I think instead of, you might say, oh yeah, this happened, but you're quickly like, but, you know, it's fine, I'm fine, it's all fine, it's going to be better, it, you know, I'm on the up and up. I think we're quite quick to get onto that, you know, the next, we don't like to talk about it. So in your tables, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. When I get my timer back up, I'm going to be strict on it, so we're not here all day. I want you just to discuss reasons why we maybe don't talk about grief, suffering, loss, etc., etc. To keep us moving, I'm going to pick on one table. Oh no, look at random. I'm going to pick mum and dad's table. Tell us your discussion. Just one quick overview. I'm not going to pick an individual, but mum or dad, you know, either or. No.
we said it's because it's too painful, it's too hard. People are often in their attempts to be kind, so kind, they want to move the agenda along. Because they don't like, probably because they don't want to see you unhappy, but also as us, I don't want to fear you or grief, so therefore it's that time we moved like this on, isn't it?
Absolutely. Emotions are messy, yeah. Yeah, and I think, are we done, feedback? I'm checking, yeah. All right, you can ponder on it in your own time. Yeah, and that brings on to the next bit, which is the moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier just to swim down. And I think what you guys have said plays into that. I think it can be this sort of overwhelming, all-consuming feeling that we just don't know how to deal with or get rid of or express. So I think you sort of, you know, sink into it, don't you? And you, it just overwhelms you, and it's like that whole, you know, treading in mud. You know, you just, I think, yeah. I mean, in my experiences, you know, and just in terms of some of the stuff I see at work, yeah, you know, I think it changes you. I think when you're exposed to sadness, and just the amount of sadness I am, but I think that changes you, and you have to find some way of dealing with that. Whereas I think if you can't, you know, put it in a little compartment and go, "Oh, I'm just not going to see it. You know, I'm just going to choose not to step into that or see that." It becomes easier, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Richard Rohr, you know, I love a bit of Ricky Rohr. Come on, it wouldn't be a preach without that man getting mentioned. He says, when grief remains unexpressed, it hardens, becomes as solid as stone. We, in turn, become rigid and stop moving in rhythm with the soul. When our grief stagnates, we become fixated in place, unable to move and dance with the flow of life. Grief is part of the dance. And I think, you know, when you look at it and when you really dig into people that do a lot of, you know, even like just psychological work on it, you know, those sort of experts and grief counsellors, and when you look at sort of even just some of the biblical stuff, you know, it is, we're created to be light and dark. You know, artists and photographers will all say you physically cannot have light without dark because of like shadowing and the depth it brings. And that is, you know, grief and sorrow and loss is all part of life, and that is part of the dance of life. And we need to deal with it. And if we don't, that cuts off part of how we're experiencing life. You know, to live life to the fullest, we need to be sort of embracing this, you know, the sorrow and the darkness that's there. One of the things from the song, I was going to play the one from the Disney one so you could actually see it, but it sounds a bit wobbly and weary, so I didn't. But in the dance of it, and anyone that's seen it, everything in that is very slow-mo. So all the dancers, it's slow-mo as they spin round and it's happening, which I thought was really cool because I think we are, and that table touched upon it, we're always meant to be, you know, working, running, fighting, striving, you know, we're always meant to be somewhere. It's never enough. We're not allowed really just to rest as a culture. We've got this real focus on, you've got to rush, got to get to the next thing. And I think that is really true, even in grief, like you guys have said. And I think even from personal levels, it's when people are going through grief or loss or, you know, even away from death and just maybe you didn't get the job you wanted, you know, you've still got the stages, you know, denial, anger, you know, all that sort of stuff. I think even in that, we rush all the stages to get to the acceptance bit. You know, like, well, that's fine, it's done. Oh, it's done. I'm okay with it. It's all over. And we're in such a rush to get to that point that, you know, did we actually really grieve? Did we actually deal with it? Or have we sort of just put a nice little sticker over it and we've accepted it? And then, you know, does it sort of rear up in the end? I don't know. That's not, who knows? And again, Stephen Levine, he says, you know, once we do that, he says, it leaves our souls wondering, did we ever grieve? Did we experience it? Did our soul ever experience it? Again, I'm going to give you another 2 minutes. I'm not going to put the timer on. I'm going to do it on my phone because that was very aggressive. And I don't feel like I'm going to be aggressive with you today. I'm going to be nice. I want you to look at, why do we feel we rush through grief, sorrow, and pain? And again, look at that, not just through death, but through all aspects. And again, on a personal level, as well as why you would because of others. 2 minutes, go. Okay, we're going to bring it in. There is another discussion at the end, so you can overflow. It's okay. I know we're talking about we're not going to rush grief, but now I'm rushing you today, so another paradox. A rush within the non-rush. Again, because I'm just going to choose completely at random. Ooh, Mike's table. Just a quick, you know, snippet. I agree with that. I think there's lots of elements, I think, of control as well, isn't there? For me, I know I go into this, I need to control everything. And if you can control your grief, you feel like you've maybe clawed back some control that was probably taken from you in the process of whatever has happened. We're going to bring it to the Bible briefly because we're in church. And Mike says we've got to mention at least one verse in these things, just so we all remember that we're here. One of the lyrics is, I take the children to church on a Sunday, a sign of the cross at the door, and I pray that never used to happen before. One of the things that has always fascinated me, always, is whenever anything happens in the world, doesn't matter what, where it is or what it is, if it is sort of a tragic or a sad event, it is always thoughts and prayers. And I've always found that fascinating that when something happens and we're all sort of thrust into this sort of chaos or sorrow, people's first thoughts, and whether they believe it or not, or they do it or not, is kind of irrelevant, but it's this where everyone goes back to prayers and this sort of inbuilt, you know, thought or need to sort of point, you know, to something else, to a bigger thing in the midst of chaos. And I've always found that fascinating. And I don't have any answers for that at all. But I always think it's fascinating that sometimes it takes something horrible to happen to sort of like realign almost our focus on actually there has to be something else. You know, there has to be something else there. There has to be something that I can go to for comfort and, you know, whatever it is. In the Bible, there's loads of verses about grief and sorrow. I mean, the Bible is just one big book of grief and sorrow generally, especially the Old Testament, with like sprinkles and dashes of light and hope until we get to the good bits. you know, it's what we're all here for, the good bits. Even in Ecclesiastes, it says, the more knowledge, the more grief. You know, the more we know, the more aware of, just the more, you know. And I think that's part of what is, well, I think we maybe feel so much of it in this day and age is just because we're so exposed to it. You know, it's everywhere. It's on the news, it's on social media, it's in your life, you know, it's thrust upon us. But also, in the midst of the chaos, there is always sort of like this promise that God will be present, you know, that God will be comfort and there will be hope in it. But also what I find interesting, it doesn't promise anywhere that it's not going to happen. You know, it doesn't really promise anywhere that it's not going to stop happening until, you know, the end and heaven and all that, which is a theological talk for Mike, not me. You know, that's, other than that, it's kind of, yeah, oh, it is going to happen. But there will be comfort in that and there will be community in that. And again, it comes back to this light and dark, like, can they coexist? Can you have, you know, the hope and the comfort whilst, you know, on the surface, everything is falling apart at the seams or, you know. And I think because we are aware that we can't, that, you know, pain's going to keep happening, I think it goes back to this control thing. And I think we do, and I'll talk for myself. Here we go. But anyone in any spot thinking, oh, it's me, I do this. I walk around, I tiny ball, and Alyssa will say this, I sleep in like a stressed clench like this, continually. And I think we do that with our life. I think we sort of put areas of our life behind our back and clench onto it because we know that we've got no control, but actually we want to think like we've got control. So there might be things like, well, I'm going to put my job, I might ask advice for things, or I might, you know, pray about things, but I'm not going to talk about that because if I bring it out and hold it lightly, something bad and horrible might happen to it. You know, and we try and have this control of keeping things away from what bad could happen, knowing full well that we can't, like, you know, unfortunately just bad things happen. But actually, in that is when I think we get the biggest sort of sense of who God is and where God is, if we allow it to happen. But part of that is, I think, it's not the not rushing through. It's the allowing God to be in that and be present in that. You know, in Psalms it says, you know, close to the brokenhearted, close to those who are mourning. But I think sometimes through the rushing, through discomfort, or not wanting to be there ourselves or for others, I think sometimes we then miss that. So then we miss like the good bit of the grief where actually we are encountering God and encountering human connections in like a much closer way than you ever can before. Which brings on to, we're coming into land, you'll be glad to know, but there are moments that the words don't reach. There is a grace too powerful to name. I think when we really feel grief or acknowledge it at a starting point, I think that can lead us to a much more connected and compassionate place. I think, especially as Christians, our aim is to be compassionate, you know, to love one another, you know, and we want to do all these things and community, and which are all great things. But actually, as we've all said, we're quite quick to brush over the one thing that we know is happening to everybody every day. You know, real compassion and real love, you know, in my opinion, is, I think, stepping into that place of darkness and allowing someone to be in it and seeing it, you know. And like Heather said, everyone will grieve differently. You know, even if you had exactly the same thing happen to you as someone else, you will still feel that differently, because that's just who we are as people, we're different. You know, but I think we can still be compassionate in that place and still be with each other in that place and have that, you know, sense of community, even though it's different, by allowing people just to be in it. Grief, lots of people say this, but grief is our sort of our common bond. It connects us to everyone, everywhere, because everyone has it. You know, it's almost like the great equaliser, isn't it? We all experience loss and pain and suffering in some way or another. We're all exposed to that. And it is probably one of the only things where there's no winners or losers, really. Like, it's just shit. You know, that it is how it is. And I think that's the only thing in life that puts us all on the same footing. And I think from that, it allows us, I think, just to love and be compassionate and step into that community in a much more powerful place than anything else, because no one can sort of go, oh, wow, if you do this. Because we all know that it's horrible. That's why we want to rush over it, because no one knows how to sit in it. Romans says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. Just being in those places with people, whatever their stage, I think is really powerful. But also letting yourself be in those places is really powerful. There's a girl called Rachel Wilson. You might know of her, you might not. She started the Grief Network, which is essentially a network of people, and it is focused on 20s and 30s, generally young people grieving. She lost her mom a few years ago, and when she was sort of looking at dealing with her grief, she realised that there was nobody in sort of our age group, or 20s and 30s, like doing it. You know, grief tend to be quite focused on old people experience grief, and no one else does. So she started to essentially the Grief Network. I think she put like an article or something or something on Facebook saying, oh, I'm going to meet here. And essentially she went to this pub expecting to see like one other person and they could talk about being sad. And there was like 20 or 30 people there. And it's just grown into this massive thing of like, you know, 20s and 30s actually talking about loss. And generally that's about like a physical like loss of a person. But some of the time it's not. And she says... she did a really good article about it, but she says, deep down, I don't want to be brave, I just want my mum back. But in the void left by that impossibility, I can hear the need to connect. And when you tune in, it can be immensely beautiful, breathtakingly, exquisitely human. And she does this whole talk on how, you know, they would talk for hours and hours, and she was like, it's almost like this loss stops us talking about the trivial things and goes straight into the, you know, the nitty-gritty of life, but actually how you're feeling, you know, because they're at a loss talk. You don't have to do this, oh, I'm fine. Everyone knows you're not fine because you're there. So it allowed people just to really just dig in and just talk about it. You know, she talks about how, you know, there's no right way to talk about loss. There is no right way to grieve. It will happen how it happens, but it's important to let people do that, but also let yourself do that and actually go, actually, how am I feeling? You know, how am I feeling? How does that affect me? How should I deal with that? And give yourself, I think, the time to do it. And I think that the, you know, it can be immensely beautiful, breathtakingly, exquisitely human. I think for me was this the biggest light and dark coexisting. You know, you've got people, a group of people who have all experienced a physical loss of a parent or a sibling or a friend. But they're talking about the, you know, the breathtakingly beautiful human connection, you know, of others in that, you know, and I think that is just the biggest, for me personally, I think that is the biggest sort of like physical look at, you know, God and compassion and love being in just, you know, the world as it is, you know, and I think for me personally, you know, I'm not one, I've got emotions, but I don't express them generally, you know, because I'm a tight fist of a ball of stress. For me and in my job, it's been really helpful just to, you know, consistently like acknowledge and go, yeah, acknowledge people's pain and go, yeah, just be there, feel it and come home and go, yeah, it was really horrible, actually, that was really sad. You know, have a moment and then continue because, you know, that's not, for me, it's like, because I see so much of it, it's okay, but always acknowledging it, not been like getting into that mind frame of like, oh, just, it's another loss, it's another sadness, it's another day. You know, thinking, yeah, this is people's lives, people are experiencing this. So we're going to have one final reflection, and then I'll pray. But again, I want you just to reflect, talk, however you're going to feel comfortable really on this one, is how can we better talk about pain, grief, loss, and just generally experience it ourselves, and how do we find community and connection in this?
Okay.
We're just going to draw it into a close, and obviously feel free to discuss in your own time. But I kind of hope this has given you more questions than answers. That's always the aim. But I think, yeah, for me, it's not about fixing it. It's not about people rushing it on, even for yourself. I think it's experience it how you're going to experience it. That will look different every time, for every different situation. And, yeah, getting the opportunity, I think, to meet with others and be compassionate in that without trying to rush people through or fixing it for them. But I'm going to pray, and then we can continue on with our days and whatever you want to do. God, I just thank you that you are with us, even if we can't see you, if we can't feel it, that you are there. That even in sort of the darkest times, there is always shimmers of light, that we can find human connection and things that point us back to you in every situation. I just pray that as we go from today, that you would just open our eyes to how we connect with others, but how we connect with us, our souls, our losses, our griefs, and how we connect them back to you. I just pray that you'll be with us in our weeks and as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.